O Lord, our times are in your hands. May the Holy Spirit inflame our hearts to hear your voice and to do your will. Amen. The Gospel according to Luke contains a detailed and orderly account of Jesus' life and ministry, including the most familiar nativity images and scenes from Jesus' childhood, interspersed with hymns and parallel accounts of the birth of Jesus' cousin John, who will become John the Baptizer, plus parables and miracles galore. In the first chapter of Luke, verses 5 through 22, you can read about the angel Gabriel's visit to Zechariah in the Holy of Holies, announcing to him that his wife Elizabeth, who was thought to be barren, would bear a son. Zechariah was a high priest, and his wife was also from a priestly line, but Zechariah was skeptical of the angel's words, and for his doubt, he was struck mute until the birth of his son, John. 6 months later, the same angel Gabriel visited Mary to announce that she would bear a son. Mary did not doubt the power of God, but she was curious. How can this be, since I am a virgin? Her openness to possibilities put Mary in a more favorable light with the angel than did the doubtful questioning of Zechariah. Gabriel explained, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Nothing will be impossible with God. Gabriel revealed to Mary that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. The newly pregnant Mary left Nazareth to visit her elderly pregnant relative. It would have been a 90-mile walk from Nazareth to the village of Ein Kerem, thought to be John the Baptizer's birthplace. A difficult journey for an unchaperoned pregnant young teenager, even if she traveled with a caravan. In my mind, Mary wanted to share her news with an older, wiser woman, and more importantly, with someone who would understand and believe her. No doubt, Elizabeth had felt the same shame of being barren in a culture where having children was the primary expectation for a wife. But Mary was not a wife. There was also shame for unwed pregnancy and stigma on a child born out of wedlock. When Mary greeted Elizabeth, the child Elizabeth carried leapt inside her. Elizabeth was then filled with the Holy Spirit and loudly proclaimed to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Elizabeth celebrated Mary's willingness to say yes to God. Then follows the Magnificat, Latin for "My soul magnifies the Lord," in the Byzantine tradition called the Ode of the Theotokos. Theotokos meaning God-bearer. We know it as the song or canticle of Mary, and it is Canticle 15 on page 91 in the Book of Common Prayer. Mary is the singer of this song of reversals, where the high are brought down and the low are lifted up. Zechariah, the religious professional, doubted God. But Mary believed. Mary, a humble peasant, consented and offered herself as a servant to the Lord. Mary's trust in God's promise allowed God to bless the whole world through her. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, returning to Nazareth before the birth of John the Baptist, or Luke certainly would have written about that. May we, like Elizabeth and Mary, trust that God is coming to save and free us from sin and shame. May we, like them, give thanks to God and respond to God's love by welcoming those society might reject. May we, like Elizabeth and Mary, support each other as we hope and wait. May we always listen to the whispers of the Holy Spirit and open our lives to possibilities, for nothing will be impossible with God. Amen.